Good morning, everyone. How are you? Good? All right. So, first of all, I do have to wish you all a happy Self-Denial Sunday. I do love self-denial because we get to watch all those videos in the weeks leading up, and I'll get to that in a little bit. But have any of you heard of love languages? Yeah? So for those who don't know, they were created in 1992 by a man named Gary Chapman. He was a Southern Baptist pastor, an anthropologist, and a counsellor, among other things, who saw in counselling sessions common miscommunication between couples because they didn't understand each other's way of showing love. And so Chapman wrote a book, and he created the five love languages. And they are as follows: words of affirmation, quality time, physical touch, acts of service, and gifts. Now, looking at this list, you might be able to have a guess as to what yours might be, or maybe the people around you as well. You might be tossing up between a few of them, and if you'd like to know, there are plenty of quizzes online if you'd like to find out. But Chapman's book says that all of these are important. None of them are more important than another, but the difference is that each of us inherently prefers to receive and show love a certain way. And this applies to all relationship types, not just romantic relationships as well. We all show love towards others in different ways. Now, this year's theme for self-denial, if you hadn't heard or got the theme from the songs that we've sung this morning, is love in action. And every single one of these love languages, words of affirmation, quality time, physical touch, acts of service, and gifts, are all demonstrating love in action. Something beyond the feeling, a physical extension of that love. Now, the self-denial pill has a very long history, and I'm a bit of a history buff, so I'm going to take you through the history of it. So it's now in its 138th year, and as Sarah said, Parramatta Salvos has been going for 140, so we beat the self-denial appeal, fun fact. But meeting it started in 1886. Now, just for context, here's what else was happening in 1886. The famous novella by Robert Louis Stevenson, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, was published. The sport of modern field hockey was born. Carl Benz created the first successful gasoline-driven automobile. American pharmacist Dr. John Pemberton invents a carbonated beverage that will be called Coca-Cola. The Statue of Liberty was dedicated, Arsenal Football Club was founded, and probably most interesting of all, or at least interesting to me, the first trainload of oranges left Los Angeles. I learned something new this week. The idea of a self-denial fund began with, of course, William Booth. After one of his officers, a man named John Carlton, said he was prepared to go without his pudding for 12 months. Now, I don't think I could go 12 months without pudding. I'm not sure about you. But what John Carlton said was he'd give up his pudding for 12 months and put the savings towards the Salvation Army's mission. Now, William Booth thought this was a bit much, which, fair enough, but he saw the potential of this sort of effort, thinking that maybe a week might be a bit more achievable. So, in 1886, the first concerted effort by Salvationists at raising funds for mission was established with 1 week of self-denial. It ran only in the UK, but it did raise over £5,000, so not bad at all. Now, over the past few weeks, as I said, we've seen the direct impact of the self-denial appeal of the past few years. We watched videos and we saw in Indonesia how the self-denial appeal has impacted a woman who entered the Booth Children's Home as a child, who is now the lead social worker at that same house. Through the Safe Pathways program, she and her team are caring for, teaching, and raising these children until, for some of them, they can actually go back home. In the Philippines, we met Donato and his chickens, very memorable video, given to his family through the CCAP program, which ultimately helps families to build sustainable livelihoods and plan a better future. The funds support Donato and his siblings through school, and his parents are now able to build a more permanent house. Again, in Indonesia, we saw how self-denial funding has helped the rebuilding and repair of a Salvation Army Corps as they were struck down by the earthquake and the tsunami in 2018. And it helps families to rebuild their lives, bringing many people to faith through the ongoing recovery ministry. And in Tonga, we met a woman who is a kindergarten teacher, helping children to develop emotionally, physically, and spiritually. She talked about how the kindergarten is helping the community, particularly those families who are unable to afford the fees. The Salvation Army is assisting these families with scholarships, allowing children to start going to school. And these are just four examples of how past self-denial appeal funds have been used. And it shows the practical impact of that money. Now, for this year's self-denial, the Salvation Army released a devotional booklet. So I had to read through that in preparing for today. And I think there's a few lines that just perfectly encapsulate what all this is about. So the first one says, the self-denial appeal now in its 138th year is first and foremost about the action of God's love reaching out across the world, embracing suffering humanity. It is God being one with us and the love of God flowing through us to spread the love by uplifting others through our generous giving. It is the heart of God tending to the struggle on earth. There's another quote that says, our gifts are tangible evidence of how God has moved in our hearts to participate in making the world a better place for all. They are gifts of faith because we believe the Holy Spirit will take our gifts and multiply their impact many times over. All this to say, the self-denial appeal works, if you hadn't heard. People's lives are impacted and changed through our own generosity. Now, I could frankly end this sermon here. I think there's not much else that needs to be said other than thank you and keep doing it, right? But there is one more thing that I do need to talk about. The self-denial appeal is, first and foremost, a great way to demonstrate the theme of love and action. Don't get me wrong, but it's more than just giving money. It has to be more than just giving money. It's about the motivation behind the action. And I think this idea encapsulates the motivation behind the action. It says, God showed us his love by sending Christ. Jesus showed his love by giving his life for us. It says this in verse 16 of the reading that was read to us earlier. This is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. Now, the scripture that was read out to us earlier is 1 John 3:11-24, which I think we can split up into four smaller sections. So the first, the idea that we are commanded to love one another in verses 11 and 12. The first verse of this passage says this, for this is the original message we heard, we should love each other. The NIV translation says, for this is the message you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Pretty simple. Love one another. It's not a difficult idea, right? It shouldn't be that hard. But then John goes on to talk about Cain and Abel, that famous story in Genesis where jealousy overcame Cain and resulted in him murdering his brother. Verse 12 of 1 John 3 says, we must not be like Cain. Now, the easiest interpretation of this would be to say, well, if I don't murder anyone, I should be okay. I'm not like Cain if I don't murder anyone, right? But, of course, it goes a bit more in depth. But it says, what does it say? It says that instead this story demonstrates how actions show the attitude of the heart. We need to love each other not just outwardly, but inwardly as well. And it's quite hard to fake both of those. Cain outwardly believed in God. He even offered a sacrifice to God, but his actions showed us that he didn't love God on the inside. So the second point, loving others is evidence that we have eternal life, seen in verses 13 to 15. Loving others is not a choice. It's not optional. We can't just turn it off when we want to. Verse 15 talks about God equating hatred with murder. Now, when I first read this, I thought it was a bit dramatic, because hating someone or not liking someone is not murdering them, right? But to God, they're one and the same. Why? The same as in the story of Cain and Abel. The attitude is equal to the action. Now, I will be the first to put my hand up and say that it is difficult to love every single person you meet all the time. And personally, I think the hardest people to love are tourists. So for those of you who don't know, I work part-time at the Opera House, and I'm a tour guide. And yay. And so it's a pretty good job. I quite like it. But if I could change one thing about my job, I would take away the tourists. Yes, that defeats the purpose of my job. But these people are so annoying. They're so frustrating. And one of the most common problems we all find as tour guides, I've talked to my other colleagues about this, when we start the tour, we tell them, you may be able to take photos or you may not be able to take photos inside. So we'll always go into one of the theatres, we'll have a look around, and we'll go, okay, it's okay to take photos or it's not okay to take photos. And every day this happens to me. I go into a theatre, I say, unfortunately, folks, we won't be able to take any photos. And you know what they all do? They take photos, not even sneakily. They do it very obviously. And I'm staring at them. I said no photos. And they speak English. That's the problem, Dave. That's the problem. So I get really frustrated with these people because they're taking photos when I've said about 5 times, do not take photos. Now, just to go on a tangent, there's 2 reasons why we can't take photos. Either because there's a copyrighted set on stage, so if someone takes a photo, it's actually illegal. Secondly, privacy, because there's people on stage and working in theatres that don't consent to having their photo taken. Illegal. So 2 reasons why they can't take photos, and it's illegal. Anyway. So I had to get that out, thank you. These people believe that they have every right to take a photo when I've already said no. And it gets to certain points where I have to either firmly speak to them or, in some cases, yell at them. And that's not a great thing to have to do. Sometimes. It's hard enough to be nice to these people, let alone love them. But as it talks about in verse 13, our love for others doesn't guarantee they love us in return, which I think can be one of the most difficult parts of being a Christian. Sometimes the world will hate us for believing what we believe and for acting the way that we act, but we still need to love because it's what we're called to do. Now, the easiest way to get around this, I tried to find a loophole this week, is to just not do anything. Don't react to any situation and you'll be fine. Or in some cases, just don't get caught. But once again, we can't hide our feelings from God because he already knows. He sees everything. If we have hate and greed in our hearts, eventually these attitudes are bound to show themselves in our behaviour. And instead, as it says in 1 Peter 3 verse 9, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. So that brings us to the third point. Love in action gives us confidence before God. Now, love can be a very vague word, especially in English. It has a very broad meaning to us. You can say you love anyone and anything. So I thought I might put a few examples out there. So I'm using Kylie and Sarah as examples. So if you've ever had a conversation with Sarah that's lasted more than 5 seconds, you'll probably know that she loves the Matildas. Does everyone know that? You're kidding, I know. So every second time I see Sarah, I think she's wearing a Matildas jersey. She has her little Matilda's water bottle just there. She goes to any game that's within the Australian borders, and she always works the Matildas into a sermon. Have you found that? Yeah. And then Kylie loves plants, or plants, as she would say. And so she has a literal forest at her house. She names her plants. Bit crazy, but all right. And she treats her plants as if they're her own children. Josiah, have you found that? Yeah. So we can see very obviously that Sarah loves the Matildas and Kylie loves plants. But there is one example of love that trumps them all. And of course, spoiler alert for the next few weeks, that example is Jesus. Jesus showed us the prime example of love in action. He gave his life for us. That is love. It was something that wasn't deserved. It was freely given with no strings attached. It was unconditional. It was an act. It was a choice. It was costly. It required sacrifice. But how can we love properly? Because the odds are we won't get the chance to do what it says in verse 16, which says we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. A bit much, unless you're Jesus. But as the message puts it, we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believer and not just be out for ourselves. We need to treat others not only how we would want to be treated, but better than we would treat ourselves. We need to put others first. Verse 18 expands on this. It says, let's not just talk about love, let's practice real love. We cannot live just by words. Words are easy to say. Sadly, telling someone that you love them doesn't mean that you actually do. What John is saying is that the words are great, but they need to be expressed and followed up by and through actions. To go back to the example of Sarah and Kylie, I reckon they live out their lives for the Matildas and plants, right? Now, true love, as I've said, is expressed through actions. Jesus gave his life for us. So the calling is simple, and this is point number four. Believe God, obey God, and love others. Now, nothing I've said today should be that new to you. And that's a good thing. Today, Self-Denial Sunday, is a day to sit, reflect, reset, and continue or start to put love into action. Being a Christian is simple, but it's not easy. The instructions are clear. We need to love God and love others. We need to show our love through action. But ultimately, Jesus needs to be the reason that we demonstrate love in action. Not for our own benefit, sometimes not even for the benefit of the people we're helping, but for the growth of God's kingdom. As it says in Luke 22, verse 42, not my will, but yours be done. So what I'm going to ask us all to do, just in this moment, is to sit and reflect on how you are currently showing love in action, or perhaps how you could be showing love in action. But the important thing is to remember what your motivation is, or who it is. So a song is going to play, a song I'm sure you're all familiar with. It says, will you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I might have the grace to let you be my servant too.